Welcome to Wolf Den's Saturday set. And just when you think it's over, it's not. As we say goodbye to Melbourne and Sydney Autumn Carnivals, we're rewarded with a brilliant weekend of racing. We've got Anzac Day racing in Flemington. We've got a great card at Moonee Valley on Saturday. We've got Group 1 racing from Morpheville. And we've got the $5 million Quokka in Ascot. And to top it all off, we've got Champions Day on Sunday from Hong Kong. And you can watch it all on racing.com. Let's bring in the boys. There's a lot to discuss, Fizzer.
Plenty.
You ready for all that, mate?
Yeah, I'm ready to get stuck in this weekend. Looks good.
So you're in the hot seat, obviously, the King Zone. He's away again. He's actually going to Hong Kong, which is very lucky for him. We've done something a little bit different, a bit like when they play two spinners in a test match.
Yeah.
We've brought in Smalley and Junior, a bit like when they played McGill and Warne back in the day as the two spinners.
Welcome in, boys.
Who's McGill and who's Warne out of you two?
I'm Warne.
Yeah. Okay, there it is.
Not much overs in being either of them, is there, these days?
No.
Welcome in, boys, and thank you for coming along. So we're going to start in Moonee Valley. There's a lot to discuss. We pulled out one race from Moonee Valley on Saturday to have a bit of a look at. This is the Victoria Handicap from a couple of weeks back, and we're going to look at race 5 from Moonee Valley, which is the Ladbrokes Form Genius Benchmark 100 Handicap. A couple of runners here are interesting. So you've got Nicolini Vito, who's going to win the race in the famous Nocconi colours.
Yep.
You've got Super Razi just battling away there in the Cerise colours, a bit like the Ingham colours.
Yep.
Let's bring the market up and have a bit of a chat. To get you going, what I did notice is that Super Razi has been a big firmer, I think $5.50 or $6 into $4. Didn't seem to run all that well in that race. I do know that it ran a pretty good race in the new market for six, an eye-catching six. Maybe that's got something to do with it. Can you explain to me why there's been a serious go for Super Razi in this race?
No, I can't really explain that one to you. I didn't particularly like Super Razi's run in that and wasn't really fussed about it in this race.
Yeah.
I found Lady in Pink. I thought the run of it was very good first up in that same race. It was coming down the outside in the blue, given no hope. Nicolini Vito goes up in dramatically in weight, I think, off its last win. I think goes up maybe close to 4 or 5 kilo, sure. kilograms. So I thought it was the danger, but Lady in Pink I definitely think is a very, very decent bet at around the $5 mark. Nicolini Vito I thought was next pick. Chorten Lane is a horse that always goes around in the market, and I get the feeling this horse has lost the will to win. So for me, I couldn't possibly be on it at $4.50. And Ride and Rose was really disappointing in an average run last start. So for me, clear-cut bet, Lady in Pink, decent odds around the $5.
Okay, outstanding. Boys, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I sort of agree. I agree with Fitz. I like Lady in Pink.
Okay.
It'll set close. I reckon it'll sit outside the lead. And I think Super Razi's so short because good run in the new park and then it started pretty short in that lead-up.
Yep.
So it started short last start.
It was plain in that, race we saw.
I don't know. It always gets back, runs good section. Some people like that sort of stuff.
A little bit further too, maybe. I think this is 120 metres further or something.
So. Yeah, but I think the rail's out 5 at the valley. I'd be surprised if it's advantageous to swoop.
Yeah, okay. Smalley.
I found one at double figure odds. Chartre. Ooh,
that's why you're here. Yeah.
The M. Laurie stable. Yep. No luck, Mornington last start, caught wide. But just forgive that. And it looked like a race lacking any speed. So hopefully Rose Hemmen with the low weight go to the front and make them chase.
Matt Laurie's figures are actually really strong. I was messing around on Dano's top rate. He's a really strong profit on turnover trainer, I saw. Which
is good on fire at the moment too.
Yeah. And of course, if you want to access AI for free on Saturday because of our relationship with racing.com, you can on the Victorian meetings. They're at Moonee Valley and Horsham. So if you want to access that, jump on wolfden.win or the app, the Wolfden app, and you can rip into that. It's always a great help when you're trying to punt. Let's move to Morpheville. We've got the two group ones. I'm going to kick off with the Australasian Oaks. A lot of form lines coming together here, boys. So I thought we'd play a couple of videos. First up, let's play the Mornington Guineas from the weekend. You can see Benny Mellum on moving out, really ripping into her in the Yulong colours. Comes on for a pretty emphatic win against a lot lesser grade than she'll be up against on Saturday in the Australasian Oaks. Let's watch her go through the line and then let's bring one more race up, which is going to be the Auroria Stakes. This is one of the sort of classic lead-ups to the Oaks. You've got Cinch about to go out in front or is out in front now. Now the horse that's of interest is All Kinds of Folk, who's poking his way through. He's in the sort of half blue, half white. We tipped him in our Ladbrokes reel yesterday, Fizzer.
Yep.
I'll let you take over from here. Have we seen the winner out of these two races that I just put up?
Not sure. It's very hard to know where the ceiling is for moving out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come back to it in a sec. I don't think the winner comes out of that race we just looked at.
The only
horse I could be on at the double figure odds was the one you mentioned, which was called All Kind of Folk.
Yep.
Look, yeah, it was a great run in that. Didn't have any luck, and I thought its run was very, very good. I do want to talk about the 1-2 done, Lizzie. I'm surprised it's favourite.
It's been a big go. 650.
Absolutely dazzled how they could possibly back that. That's a double figure shot for me. I think the boys over there are going to talk about that one as well. I don't think either of them like it. Massive unders for a horse that really didn't hit the line over 1600. Had a soft lead at Moonee Valley and then really found nothing. I don't think it's got staying potential. For me, and it's hard. It shouldn't be potting Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott, but
and Shinny as well.
I don't particularly want to be anywhere near it. I thought Benagil brings the right line, form lines coming from Sydney in very, very good form race. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sold on that lead up race. Cinch is a winning horse, has been winning and did nothing wrong and will get a good run in the race, but I prefer to be on All Kinds of Folks at the double figures than it. And moving out, look, the Mornington run was great against the pattern of the day, coming from last down the centre of the track. I think that was a very good run, and it is Waller and it is a young horse on the way up. But a quick backup in a harder race from barrier one, I'm not sure where it'll get to. So for me, Benagil from All Kinds of Folk as a betting proposition.
Great. Hey boys, I'm sure you've got plenty to say. To kick you off, let's talk about Palimnia. It's been a bit of a firmer as well. I think they bet 7 or 7.50. It's firmed in. Of course, Palimnia was in the Adrian Knox, got beat by Belle Dattel, was the favourite in the Adrian Knox. What do you guys make of Palimnia? There's obviously a lot of people out there think she can win because she's been a big go.
Yeah, she obviously looks a good chance. Just that barrier, she's going to have to go right back again and she's probably going to be coming with all the other favourites. So I was happy to bet around her.
Okay, yeah, and where did you land? Sorry, Junior, go on.
I actually landed moving out. Okay. 7 day backup, obviously was a great win last start. I thought the main interesting thing here was just the barrier that she's drawn compared to all the other fancies. Like she's in barrier one, probably going to get a nice soft run, and they're all ranging from 10 to 15. So she's where I landed.
Okay. Junior, what do you make of it all, mate?
I agree with Fitz. I don't know how 2 day Lizzie's come up favourite. Just flat out running 1600, I think. And then Benagil as well is going to have back to last. Moving out, I'm not 100% sold it runs 2,000. I don't think there's been much evidence.
So you think it's a bit of a throw up the stumps by Team Waller?
Well, yeah, it is. Well, it's a group one, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a group one, so why wouldn't you? Palimnia was sort of, wasn't weak late, but maybe wasn't suited by the sit and sprint. But yeah, I like Cinch and All Kinds of Folk. I'm happy to stick with that race. Cinch 100% is going to run the 2,000, probably lobs outside Tudor and Lizzie, and definitely has it covered.
All right, let's move to the Sangster. Now, here's a race. Here's a race to bet on.
It is
some of the favourites we've been getting out. To get us in the mood, let's watch the RN Irwin. So, Asfura was first up over 1,100. First time back in Australia after winning at Royal Ascot. I don't know how they bet 440, but they did. So, she's going past Skorupa here. And you've got Climbing Star, who won the Sangster last year, coming into third. This is 1,100 metres. All the talk is about, can Asfura make it to 1,200 metres? Fizz, what do you think?
Nope. Can't run the 1,200 metres. That's my opinion. I think you'll see Asfura starting in double figures.
Really?
Already 8.50 or something, isn't it? I think it'll get out further than that. Look, this has got good tempo in this race. I can't identify one horse I'm super keen to back. If I had to bet, I would be on number 2, Stratton Angel. Mm-hmm. This horse comes out of the Moonee Valley meet where the bias was just horrific towards leaders.
Yep.
It was a good run coming down the centre of the track for third late. Commemorative in Sydney two weeks ago, sat wide, was a good run, but again, gets barrier 15. I do think the speed will be on in this, and I'm leaning towards Swoopers.
Yep.
And Climbing Star comes out of that race you just said, Asfura race. Climbing Star was the best run in that race for mine. It had no hope the way the race pattern was run that day. The track played quite leaderish, and I think with a fairer track this weekend, Climbing Star is another horse to beat. Those are my three runners.
And it won the race last year.
They're my three runners for this race.
Hey, boys, the big goes have been Charmstone and also Aviatress. Can you make a case for either of them?
Yeah, I like Charmstone. I think it was flying last prep. Up the straight, it got beat by... It got unlucky behind Mar Arbor and Rainbag Nero. Probably should have figured closer in that race and they sort of gapped the rest. And then it went into a Rupert Clark and had no luck. Probably should have finished a lot closer as well. It's trial very well. Mark Zara, I think barrier 12 is perfect for it. I'm pretty keen on it. It'll run a big race. And also like Amina.
Okay.
Amina is like a... It ran over 1,400 as a three-year-old. I think they stretched it. I think it is a sprinter. I think it might have come back better. It can map sort of in the first couple and run a race at odds.
Yeah, and it gets quite good weight relief, doesn't it, as well, yeah, being a three-year-old up against the older? Smalley, what are we doing?
Can't add too much to what further than what Fitz said. Really wanted to be against Asfura. I think it'll start double figures and wasn't really against any of those in the market. They thought Climbing Star was great first up. I think Commemorative's drawn a good barrier for her. She needs some room. And Stratton Angel was good against the bias at the Valley. So,
all right. That wraps up Adelaide. And we're going to move to Ascot now, the $5 million quokka. Probably should be a Group 1. Maybe we'll move towards that. Maybe it should be called the Overpass. So he's won it 2 years in a row, hasn't he? Going for three. He's just been firming all week long, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's impressive. He's been impressive when he's gone over to WA.
Should I maybe throw straight to Smalley? Because I think he's a bit fired up about this race. Smalley? Talk to us, mate.
Yes, yeah, so I like this race, actually, and I have made Overpass. He is an official Saturday set tip.
Okay.
I just thought his run was really good first up. He's only been beaten by Briasa, who had a very good run against him. He led on that day at Randwick, and no leaders won. He ran second, and the next best performing leader on that day was Lilac, who's since come out and won.
Sure.
Front Page had favours in the Galaxy. Western Empire is a WA horse who is first up. I'd struggle to see him to be able to knock these Eastern State horses over. And Headwall was a great run last up, but just going to need a lot of luck.
Yeah.
Probably going to get back, be charging home. But
I mean, you take Headwall out, Overpass is three or four lengths better horse than all the rest of these, isn't it?
Agree, yeah.
Yeah. Junior, anything to add, mate?
No, not really. I disagree with Smalley. It's just... I just don't really see how Overpass gets beat. Headwall is just going to need the red seat open, and it's going to be behind worse horses this time. So I don't know what's going to take into the race. I'm tipping nothing because Overpass has panels on these. But, yeah, it's just Overpass for me.
Fizz?
Yeah, I would have loved to tip you to Joker's Grin, but I can't. Unfortunately, my money's on it. But, yeah, I just think Barrier 13 and having to do the chasing, Overpass looks definitely the horse to beat. I think Smalley mentioned Front Page getting the right run in the last race that it faced. Won't get that same run here, I don't think. And Headwall, yeah, hard to miss its last couple of starts, but it does what it does, which is run a place. And unfortunately, I think Overpass will be off and gone for it, and it'll be a little bit too late for it to run it down. Western Empire of the Western Australian horses, look, there's a lot of it always goes up in the market, this horse. It's never really lived up to potential, but I watched its jump out was quite nice and it looks ready to go. They went to the front in the jump out. So at $8 for all you locals, I reckon that's probably the WA horse that's the one to beat. But I'd love to see Jokers fly late, but I'm not sure might be a bit too soon for that 4-year-old gelding, I think.
What price do you think Overpass starts?
Oh, probably odds on. I think it starts about the $1.90. I don't think it'll be much shorter, but I think you get a little bit of 205 out there at the moment.
I think Headwall's got potential to get out just because started 50s last start, started big odds before that. And this is arguably just a less suitable race. It might be easier, sure, but I don't think Ascot suits it. I'm not sure Barrier 8's the best for it.
I remember after the TJ, you guys all said that. It was the TJ's last start, Headwall, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
You all said that, and people started talking about Headwall for the quokka, and you all said that Ascot won't really suit Headwall. But anyway, we'll find out on Saturday. Hey, Fizzer, it's time to get your official Saturday set. I believe right, there's plenty for the work with.
Well, Kingsley's not here, so I thought, you know what, if he's not here, I may as well fill the void and throw a few more tips out there for everyone. So we'll start in Ascot. I'm really keen on this one. Race 5, number 4, a horse called Pondmaster. Pike was on it last start and got caught in all sorts of traffic problems behind 6-inch heels, which it races against this weekend. 6-inch heels have gone up $1.90 and Pondmaster went up $2.50. I was straight into that. I think they'll swap by the time race time comes. That's my theory on it, but we'll see what happens. Then we'll go to race 7, number 8, the Karakata for the young horses over there.
Great race.
Yes, Queen. Unbelievable run last start. Pike's on. Barrier 6. I think it's the horse to beat, and I think it'll win this weekend and start around the even money shot. Money price about $2.50 now. Go to Eagle Farm. They're getting a bit of rain the next few days, but I think come Saturday it's meant to be dry. So Eagle Farm Race 3, number 7, a horse called Sky Forger. Mm-hmm. This horse ran at Toowoomba last start on a heavy track, so it gets through the softer going. I'm not going to step in early because it's about $14 as we speak, but I think there'll be a few scratchings and that sort of plays a big part in the market, so we'll wait on that one. Then Race 7, number 1, Harlem Queen. The boys know this horse. Went around in Sydney last start. Mm-hmm. It's been running in very good races and running very good races. I think it's got the perfect draw. Set weights against these horses, I think it'll be too good. We'll go to Morpheville, race 1, number 7, a horse called Regal Asmon. This horse has been going great. Caulfield run last start was enormous where it got held up. Pretty keen on it to run a good race in race one at Morpheville. Then we're going to the last in Morpheville, race nine, number 14. Horse called Eroica. This horse makes up good ground every time it runs. It's drawn wide, which I don't mind because there's good speed in this race. I think if they're making good ground down the outside, 750 looks a juicy price. Randwick, I've got two bets. I'm worried about too much rain. They're saying rain Saturday might be an issue. Rain Sunday is definitely happening, but rain Saturday and we've had a bit around. So race two, number three, Photographics. This horse handles the wet, likes the wet, so really keen on it around the $3 mark. And then race three, number one, a horse called Masira, caught five wide and four wide last start, likes the wet also, and I think it's a good price around the $4.40 mark.
Thanks, Fizzer. That's great, mate. Gives the fans plenty to work with over this Anzac Day long weekend.
Beautiful.
Smalley, I'm going to call you in to strike, mate. What are you bowling? A little bit of off spin or something? Or?
Not as many as Fitz.
Okay. But, short and sharp session.
We're going to start with the Quokka, as we mentioned previously. Overpass. I just think for the reasons mentioned earlier, he's going to be too good. He's going to sit on pace. He loves Ascot. He loves the 1200 there. So Overpass is going to be my first. We're going to go to Anzac Day. We're going to go to Randwick Kensington track. Randwick race seven, number eight, Aretva. He had no luck first up at Warwick Farm. Was running into the race. Maybe wasn't going to win, but was definitely going to finish a lot closer than second last. She finds an easier race here and can win. Great. Then we're going to go back to Randwick on Saturday. Race three, I'm going head-to-head with the Fizz. Speedy Henry. Thought it was a very progressive horse. Won on the soft track at Scone last start, so the rain shouldn't hurt. And then Randwick race four, Zealously. Odds on now, probably we might get a little bit better, but very good return to racing. First up, finding one better and should go one better on Saturday.
Perfect, Smalley. Thank you. Great set. Hey, Junior. Your time to shine, son. What do you got?
Heading to the Valley first. There's a bit of rain around, but I don't think it'll bother this horse. Race four, number three, New York Luster. Sort of lightly race for EJ and Carlene, the great trainer-jockey combo. I think it'll lob in the first four and be hard to run down. Then we're going back to Adelaide. Race four, a couple of roughies. Captain Hilfiger. Mm-hmm. Good win at Sale last start. It's going to end up the 2,000.
Look at that price. Woo!
And then a local as well in that race, Steer Up Cup. Had no right to win last start.
You want to become a national hero, don't you? You want to become like Warnie. Yeah, you can do it. If these get up, you'll do it, son.
Yeah, had no luck. Shuffled back at a key stage, copped a big check, but just really found the line well. I quite like it. Morpheville race six, Private Legacy. It had no luck in the Emancipation in Sydney. Got shuffled back and just never really got out till the end and can run a big race at odds. And in the same race, maybe my favourite horse, Zlotys. Group horse in the making, and I think we'll eat up the mile at
Morpheville. It's firmed up a bit, right? Is it? What did they put up?
Well, I didn't get any of it, but they put up $6.50, which looked generous. The mighty green machine, yes.
This episode is brought to you by our good mates at Ladbrokes. Ladbrokes has you covered with all the best racing features so you can own this autumn carnival. You can support the show by joining Ladbrokes today and using the code GALLOP. And if you want the ultimate social betting experience, be sure to check out Ladbrokes Mates Mode, where you can chat, share and bet with your mates. We've even started our own Wolfden Mates Mode group, and you can join the action by using the join code UPTHEDEN25. So check out Mates Mode and download the Ladbrokes app this autumn carnival.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.
Now, the exciting news is we're doing a Mates Mode pot on Sunday for Hong Kong Champions Day. There it is up there. If you want to get involved, go and jump on the Ladbrokes app. $50 buy-in. We're getting the best in the den who understand Hong Kong the best to help me put the set together. That's Hong Kong Gav. The King Zone will throw a bit of mail our way. Fitzy might try and find some mail. Everyone will try and find some mail. We'll put the best set together. But I thought we might just have a very casual chat about the Hong Kong meeting. And you've been fretting about this, Fizzer, because we need to be clear to say that, you know, you don't do Hong Kong form.
No, so I don't. I don't follow it closely enough. And then I was trying to look for the form this morning to study these three races that you've given us an assignment to do. And realised there was no form out there for any of those races.
It's the barrier draws and the acceptances are coming through today. So
yeah, it makes it hard to do the form.
That's all right. You just
so you know.
It's okay, mate. So let's start.
I do have one for everyone.
Great. Well, there you go. I knew you'd find something. Yeah. So just slow down a little bit. Let's bring up the first race we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Chairman's Sprint. So what's that? The $1.20. Who's that?
Everest favourite.
Right. What's it called? How do you say it?
Kangaroo Rising.
Right. Just an average horse.
Yeah.
Average horse? Average horse, Smalley?
Yes.
All right. Well, So let's start. Let's have a good chat about these races. Yeah, so, right. Of course, we've got Ka Ying Rising there. What did you make of this race? Is anyone going to be brave enough to tip against Ka Ying in this race?
No, it's been beating these same horses every week. So and beating them well, from what I've seen. I don't know if that's the same sort of field that it's faced, but it obviously there's nothing to challenge it in Hong Kong. So we're not going to know until it moves away from Hong Kong to see how good that horse really is.
What about the rain? There's a bit of rain coming. Did you know that?
I didn't know
that. Going to get rain Friday, Saturday.
Okay. Well, it depends how much. I think rain affects any horse. So if it doesn't go in the wet, maybe they'll scratch it.
If a soft five beats it, it won't be winning the Everest.
But sure.
Yeah, I think the second favourite's Japanese sprinter who's just average again. So like, we're not going to learn anything about the Everest, really, in my opinion.
Smalley? What do you make of this race and what do you make of Ka Ying Rising?
He's obviously a talented horse over in Hong Kong. Beating up, as Fitz said, a lot of the same horses. We got some Japanese interest in there in the second fave. I'm sure he'll probably win again over the weekend and then bring on the Everest.
And what about the Everest? Do you think Ka Ying Rising will win the Everest?
I think he's way too short at the moment. I know that obviously you can back him and if he doesn't come, you get your money back. But... look, I'd be happy to, at this stage, I'm sure the haters will be out, but I'd be happy to take him on in the Everest.
Okay. What price do you think would be more fair for him in the Everest?
Oh, I think he's got to be $3 or $4.
Okay.
Yeah. It is an Everest. We've got some pretty good sprinters here. So he's got to travel. He has to deal with the race pressure here.
Is he going to have a race before the Everest or is he going to go first up into it? Surely he'd have a race beforehand, right? Because this is apparently his last race in Hong Kong before he heads out here. Is that correct?
I think he might be. I don't know. I think he's first up in the Everest. But like, what price would Helios Express be in the Everest? 201? Like,
no,
he'd have extremely little chance.
They wouldn't be picked up in the Everest.
Yeah,
would they?
So. They wouldn't. And Lucky Swain S is the former Ka Ying Rising before he was used to have a spruik on it. And
do you think Ka Ying Rising would win the Everest Junior?
No, not at this stage. Okay. Not when you're asking, what is it, like evens now? I can't take it.
This is gonna cause a mutiny on the den.
Stu Ferenczi's going to be upset.
He is a contributor. Don't leave us, mate.
It's got the big ratings and it runs fast time on Rockhard's deck every week. Like, obviously it's a talented horse, but like, it's got to come to Australia.
Mm. Okay. Let's move to the Champions Mile and one of our favourite horses. Mr. Brightside goes over there to take on the world. A little bit of wet will help him. Now, Fizzer, you were speaking to someone during the week who understands Hong Kong form very well.
Yeah.
What did they say about this Voyage Bubble horse?
Said absolute superstar. Ooh. Very, very, very underrated.
Okay.
And he did talk about Mr. Brightside. And from what I can work out, he has identified Mr. Brightside as a very good horse wins the right races that it's set for
placement
at the right time, but not a superstar. And... he was. He just said he'd be very surprised if Voyage Bubble doesn't start very long odds on.
Okay.
And Mr. Brightside drift very
gets
heavily.
Hammered on the world tote. So it might start $8 or $9, Mr. Brightside on the world tote.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay, what did you boys make of this race?
Obviously, we know Mr. Brightside. We also know Royal Patronage, who was a very good run last start in Sydney. But yeah, from what I've seen, Mr. Brightside, he's a champion horse.
Yeah.
He has a good racing style, and that's won him a lot of races narrowly. So I've watched a little bit of Voyage Bubble, and he does seem a little bit more talented. But yeah, it's going to be a good race.
Junior?
Yeah, Voyage Bubble looks very hard to beat. No other hopes, really.
Shout out to Mascot 79, Costa, who's on the den.
Yeah.
Part owner in Royal Patronage. He'll be over there as well with the Kings End. They're all going to have a great time. Magic Mike 888, he's heading over as well.
Yeah, the boys are all over there.
Are you disappointed you're not going?
No, I got the invite and I declined it. It could have been a pretty hectic trip.
I got the invite and said I can't afford it and wouldn't be able to get time away from the family anyway. So.
No, they're going to have a good time, the boys, and it's great to see that Costa's got a horse over there in the big race.
Super exciting.
So super exciting.
Let's move to the QE2 Cup, the 2,000-metre race. Not as strong a Australian representation. We do have Prognosis, who, of course, ran second in the Cox Plate. El Vencedor, $15. You're going to rip into that, Junior? Can you tell us who El Vencedor is?
El Vencedor is a New Zealand horse that looks very, very short at $15. Like, it's unbelievable. It's like falling in New Zealand. You ask... It looks a 50s chance. Like, I'm being serious. It looks a genuine 50s chance again. Prognosis ran third in the Cox. Or did it run second in the Cox Plate?
Second, yeah.
And like,
did I say No, yeah, ran second.
Yeah, ran
broadsiding, ran.
Yeah, broadsiding ran third. It's ran second at Cox Plate. Goliath won on like the highest rate. Liberty Island.
So Goliath was John Stewart bought Goliath.
Yeah, that crazy American bloke.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said he's going to bring it out to Australia later in the year, but it's a proper horse. Aventador, just be lucky to finish the course.
And Ruby Lott was favoured for the Derby, but Cape Ferrat won it, didn't
he? Yeah, $8 Cape Ferrat. I looked at the Derby and just it had the great Cape Ferrat had the greatest PR you've ever seen. You wouldn't want to take $8 about it. I think more of the pointy end of the market's probably the right way to look.
Okay, awesome. All right, that wraps up the Hong Kong segment. It wasn't that hard, right?
It's quite enjoyable. Well, I didn't know any of those horses, so, yeah, other than prognosis. So, yeah.
Cool. All good. Well, we're going to put a fantastic set together with people who do know Hong Kong racing. So get involved in it on the Ladbrokes app in the Mates Mode section. And we're just about there, boys. It's been a great Saturday set. I always like to leave you with a couple of things. I've got two pieces of content to leave you with. The first one, you can see this thumbnail up there of Chris Waller. So there's this kind of peculiar piece from Chris Waller. So it's with the straight, Brent O'Brien, and basically what happened was I think they called him and asked him a couple of questions. He left like an incredibly long, like 18-minute voice message. Seemed like it might have been late at night one night. He was just in a very relaxed state. Really interesting look into the mind of Chris Waller. It's on YouTube. I suggest you go and have a listen to that when you get some quiet time. I'll put the link in the description. And the other piece that I watched this last night, I thought it was fantastic. So World Horse Racing have put together this piece on a Bjorn Baker and his champ Overpass, about 10 minutes long. Talks all about what's going to happen over in the Quok over in Ascot. So go and have a watch of that. And that's about it. Enjoy your long weekend. Remember the diggers. We live in this great country because of the sacrifices of them. Up the den. Remember Anzac Day tomorrow. Thank you. We'll see you in the den on Saturday, Sunday.